Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
You have year-end goals. Constant Contact has what it takes to help you meet them faster. Sell more, raise more, and build real relationships with your audience with Constant Contact's digital marketing tools, all made to fast-track your success. Put the go in your 2024 goals with email, social, SMS, and customized marketing campaigns built for you in just a few clicks. Ready, set, go to ConstantContact.com and start your free trial today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. It is a Thursday morning here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. Happy you're with us. Kim St. Ange, Carl Middleman, Susan Thomas in here with you this morning to get you to work or to hunting or whatever it is you're doing. The sun is now up. So my friend who's sitting out in a deer stand this morning listening to us, best of luck to you, Joe. And you know what I generally find when I do that is a tiny little squirrel. What was it? Peanut, like Peanut, that poor dearly departed Peanut.
R.I.P.
Who only weigh, what, half a pound? I mean, they're not very big. Can sound like a 100-pound buck when they run through the leaves at dawn and dusk. You hear it coming. You think, sure, it's a big 10-point buck running through the woods, and you look down, and it's a squirrel.
Yeah, the tree rats really, I'm sure, can fool you.
They do. They do. It gets your attention. Keeps you awake, at the very least. This morning, it'll be the temperatures keeping you awake. It is in the 30s outside, and I don't think we've hit 40 yet, but maybe just now. The wind is whipping. At least it was earlier. I still see the St. Louis flag in front of the library flapping out here, so you're going to feel it when you go out. You're going to want to bundle up this morning. Maybe the coldest morning we've had since March, I heard one of the local meteorologists point out this morning. So it's coming, no doubt about it. Coming up, Jim Talent is going to join us, former Missouri senator, anxious to hear his take. You know, we're lucky because in about an hour, we are going to hear directly from Trey Yangst of Fox News. He is over in Ukraine. He just interviewed Vladimir Zelensky at some secret location over there, talking about Trump coming into office and lobbing bombs into the middle of Russia, and Russia firing an ICBM back at them this morning. It's high stress over there. I'm anxious to talk to Trey about his take on it, but also Jim Talent. I want to get his thoughts in a few minutes because he studies these issues as well and was once a candidate for a defense secretary under Donald Trump. So we'll get his thoughts on that coming up. At the bottom of the hour, the bathroom policy issue has reared its ugly head again in the Francis Howell School District because it's never been dealt with. And there are complaints from parents. I've spoken to some of them about a teenage, 6-foot teenage male who is using the women's bathroom at a high school in the Francis Howell District. We're going to talk to County Councilman Joe Brazel, who, by the way, lives in that district, and another parent about that issue this morning and their frustration over the fact that the board has not issued a policy on this to get it cleared up. And it's frustrating on the part of parents, to say the very least. We'll get to that for you at 7:35. First, though, I want to get to the shortlist, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Hi, I'm Steve Daines. My pronouns are Republican majority. I have a simple message for Chuck Schumer and for Bob Casey. It's over.
Yes, it is. The Senate race in Pennsylvania is over. But Bob Casey, who apparently is some kind of an election denier, you know those people, won't give up, even though the Supreme Court in Pennsylvania has finally put its foot down and shut down the counting of invalid ballots.
We lost the election. We're miserable. Half of this country is miserable. And let's just tell the truth. We hate that he won. We hate it.
Half the country is miserable every time we hear that voice. That's Joy Behar of The View expressing her deep, deep dislike of Donald Trump's overwhelming, smashing victory on November 5th.
With that, Mr. Barr, if you will please stand. Count one, malice murder. I sentence you to life without the possibility of parole.
Lincoln Riley's killer will spend the rest of his life getting three hots and a cot in an American prison. They don't have the death. The death penalty was not offered in this case. I'm not quite sure why, but there has finally been some justice in that illegal immigrants case.
What do you think of Bryson's clubhead speed compared to my clubhead speed?
I don't know. I think yours is a little faster, honestly. I think you hit way farther than him.
That's right, honey.
That's right, honey. Donald Trump there talking to his granddaughter. It sounded like a different guy, didn't it?
Yeah.
He does.
He just has a softer tone. It's the side of Trump that we didn't usually get to see, especially on the campaign trail. And I think that's what was missing. I think we needed to see or hear more videos like that. The phone calls between Trump and his granddaughter, Kai. She's been doing these vlogs, which is where she posted this video. And she's shared some really sweet interactions between the two.
Well, the thing about it is that you don't get that glimpse of him nearly enough. The funny thing about it is he was probably, that sounded like he was on a speakerphone.
He was.
I wonder if that was when he golfs with Bryson DeChambeau all the time, the PGA player. So he was probably just chiding Bryson a little bit. This is the guy that is a fantastic golfer, right? There's no way Donald Trump's clubhead speed is as fast as his, but it's hilarious that they were even joking about it.
He's really competitive with
golf. He drives the ball 300 yards.
See, I don't know. I know Trump's a good golfer, but yeah. I'm assuming he's not going to be as good as with Bryson. Is that the guy that he was in the video golfing with? They were riding in the cart together, and he was really impressed with Trump's swing.
Oh, yeah. He hit the ball inside of Bryson's shot, mm-hmm. I think, on a par three somewhere.
The video I was referring to.
If I remember that correctly. That's pretty good. Yesterday, speaking of a more serious note, Donald Trump stepped up and gave a message to the current Senate and said, hey, guys, what are we doing here? Like yesterday, a couple of really liberal judges got confirmed by Chuck Schumer. I mean, Chuck Schumer is dumb like a fox. He took full advantage of the fact that two Republican senators were not in Washington, D.C., and he pushed a vote on a couple of controversial judges. And because Ted Cruz and another guy weren't there, they got appointed to a lifetime appointment to the federal bench. One of them didn't have the support of either of his home state senators, which is unheard of and completely not right, for sure. And Donald Trump said, you guys need to stand up and do whatever you have to do to slow down Schumer so he doesn't try to pack the courts before he's out of power. That's what they're trying to do. Nobody should be surprised by it. Somebody, in fact, asked Eric Schmidt about that yesterday.
I'm getting ready to leave my office and head over and vote on one of the radical judges Joe Biden's trying to get through with Chuck Schumer's help before we take over in January. Judge Kashubai is who we're voting on. Very radical, a fan of cultural Marxism, makes litigants actually announce their pronouns in the courtroom. I mean, it's written about Marxist property theory. This person's about to get a lifetime appointment. I'm going to vote no. Republicans need to make sure they show up and vote no on all these radical judges from now until.
Yeah, thank you. My pronouns are Trump 47.
What's interesting to me, because I know there's been a lot of talk about this, the recess appointments that Trump might make, just like other presidents have made, including Obama, who made 32 recess appointments.
Thank you.
There's some sort of standard where the Senate has to be gone for a certain number of days. Is it 10 consecutive days where the president is then able to get one of these recess appointments?
I think that's what they changed the rules to, I believe.
Because clearly that's not the case in this, where Chuck Schumer was able to just push him through, right? If Ted Cruz, you're saying, was among, what, a couple of senators?
They were short.
There.
So, right.
But I don't know how long he'd been gone, but it sounds like it's not the same standard.
No.
Where you have to be gone for that prolonged period
of time.
Not at all.
They just had a regular vote, and a couple of the Democrats were there. If those two Republicans had been there, it would have been 50-50, and Kamala Harris is on vacation in Hawaii. So she wouldn't have been there as the tiebreaker, and they wouldn't have gotten on the bench. So this is something Republicans do have to take seriously. All right, we're going to get to a quick break. We got former Senator Jim Talent coming up next. Stay tuned.
If you doubt how serious the opposition is to the public, not just to Trump, but to the majority of the country that voted for Trump, they're trying to leave him with World War III on the way out.
Yeah.
I can't imagine a more desperate or evil thing for Tony Blinken, who I think is desperate and evil, in my view, to do. Leave him with a...
Glad to have former Senator Jim Talent back on the air with us this week. Jim, how are you?
Hey, I'm fine, Mark.
Good. Great to have you on. You know, that was Tucker Carlson talking about this last-minute move by the Biden administration to allow Ukraine to fire our missiles deep into Russian territory. I think the Russians have now responded, I hear, overnight. And they've lowered their threshold for using nuclear weapons, potentially. What in the world is this administration thinking? And do you think it's a poke at Donald Trump?
No, I would guess, Mark, that it's more the result of the kind of incoherence they've shown in their entire foreign policy, including in Ukraine. There is no logic justifying allowing the use of the ATACMS in this fashion today that would not have justified it a year and a half ago. So it's either, if it's right now, the decision is right now, it was wrong then. If it was right then, it's wrong now. I don't expect Putin to escalate. I think Putin is trying to get as much of Ukrainian territory as he can before January 20th, because I think he understands that after January 20th, he's going to come under intense pressure to make a deal that ends this war on terms that are acceptable to both sides. That's clearly what Donald Trump has in mind, and I think that's what he's going to do. And if I was a betting man, I'd put money on him being able to do it, too.
Of all the appointments that Trump has made so far, it seems like Matt Gaetz, the pick for attorney general, has been by far the most controversial. And now you have the House Ethics Committee meeting to try to determine if they should release this report about these allegations into his past and some of these, you know, supposed sexual assault, things like that. They're deadlocked on whether they think that they should release it. What's your reaction to that? Do you think it should be released?
Kim, my reaction is, I think this is what most of the Republican senators are saying anyway, is that, look, there's reasons to be concerned about this nomination. The president's going to appoint like 3,000 people, and about 500 of them are to very substantial and important posts. So there's no president who gets everybody that he nominates, and the Gaetz nomination is in some trouble. It would be hard, I'm speaking for myself here, obviously, it would be hard for me to vote to confirm somebody as attorney general if there was an outstanding ethics report that raised or at least addressed substantial concerns, and I had not even been able to see it. Now, I don't know how they're going to square this circle because the House clearly doesn't want to give it up. But, yes, it's a problem, and I think it's understandable that it's a problem. We'll see what the administration and Speaker Johnson and Thune or Chuck Grassley, who chairs the Judiciary Committee, we'll see what they're able to work out.
Well, it's going to. I think that they've declined to release it, and just like always, somebody will leak it to CNN.
Yeah,
I mean, somebody's going to do that to try to politically damage him, Jim. I think this will be these confirmation hearings will be worse than what we saw for Brett Kavanaugh, I believe.
Well, and that's the problem. A leak will be probably selective, right?
Yes,
and so. And probably the worst parts of it, and without the context. So what I will say about the general, I think most Republican senators are thrilled with the vast majority of the president's nominations. I think they're thrilled at the election result. I think Donald Trump is the leader, the consensus leader of this party in a way that certainly was not true in 2016 and maybe even in 2020. And I think they're going to try to give him what he wants. It's just a question of, you know, you're dealing with the attorney general here. You need to know what these allegations were and whether there's any substance to them. So it's a problem. And I'd rather see the ethics committee just release it. I mean, if there's something there where we all look at it and we go, well, this is a big problem, we need to know that now.
So,
and if there's nothing there, then Gates deserves to have his name cleared, right?
I would agree, but did you ever serve on the ethics committee?
Mm-mm.
So
never did. I don't have a prosecutorial mentality. I did not want to be sitting regularly in judgment on my colleagues if I could avoid it. So no.
So, you know, I heard Mike Johnson say, well, you know, they're there to deal directly and their only purpose is to investigate members of Congress. They can't indict anybody.
Right.
I mean, anything they do is extrajudicial, really. And if he's no longer a member of Congress, I should say, anything they would release is just it's just to damage him, because whatever they found, no prosecutor felt like they could take it to court. Why would we do that to an American citizen?
Yeah, look at this from the point of view. If he were to be confirmed, and then this leaks, and there's something in it, and I'm not saying there is. I don't know, but there's something in it where the country goes, including people who supported President Trump. That's a big problem. I mean, you want to know about that before, right? Now you got a tangle here because you're right. They don't like once he's resigned. They don't have jurisdiction over him, and so they don't like to release these reports. But he's been appointed attorney general. You know, it's not like he's going off into the private sector or some other post.
Yeah.
So it's a legitimate problem, and they're going to try to work it out. Again, I mean, if he came in to see me, my response would be to ask him, you know, what's in it? What's the nature? Is it some technical thing? Is it you didn't, you know, fill out the disclosure reports right? Well, if that's what it's about, that's not a problem. I really don't know what it's. The only thing it's the context in which it's been mentioned is these alleged, offenses, sexual offense of some kind, which he was not prosecuted for, which is a sign that there's nothing to it.
Yeah.
So let's try and find out. Okay. So if he's going to be AG, I want him to enter with his, you know, with his record cleared, and I think he would want to as well.
Jim, always great getting your opinion on this. Thank you.
You are welcome.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Former Senator Jim Talent there. Coming up, we'll wade into this budding controversy out in the Francis Howell School District over boys and girls' bathrooms.
A man is a man, and a woman is a woman. And a man cannot become a woman.
Well, Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, seems to understand the basics there of the birds and bees. Some other people have not figured it out, and now I see this post that popped up yesterday, and then I was able to confirm it with some folks in the Francis Howell School District, that indeed there is an issue going on right now in a couple of their schools. Francis Howell High, where they've got a 6 foot, 2 inch man, weighs 200 pounds, who identifies as a female using the girls' bathroom. And also some problems apparently at Francis Howell Central, where some girls are going into the boys' bathroom. The school board has debated a policy change on bathrooms for a while, but they've never taken any action on it. There is a meeting tonight that I suspect will be pretty well attended. I got a couple of guests this morning. First is County Councilman Joe Brazel, who's also a parent in the Francis Howell School District. And Sarah Nags is with us, who's also the mother of a student in that district. And Joe, Sarah, welcome into the show.
Good morning, thanks for having us, Mark. Yeah, hey, thanks for having us, Mark.
You bet. Joe, I want to start with you real quick. When did you find out about this, and what is your reaction to the fact that it appears the board has been reluctant to address this?
Well, reluctant and weak. Yeah, pathetically weak. I have a 15-year-old daughter, and I was told this, and I didn't believe it, and I asked her, and she confirmed it absolutely. And when you say 200, try 300 pounds, about 6'2". Very big young man, and there's another gentleman that goes into restrooms as well that's not a big fella, but he's still intimidates these kids, these girls. It really intimidates the heck out of them, and she said, it scares me and stuff like that, and I'm like, why didn't you tell me? She's like, well, I don't want my students to, you know, retribute on me, or whatever word she used, and so it's just completely wrong. It's insanity. I only found this out like a week and a half ago, and I'm like, are you kidding me? So I have a meeting with the superintendent, me and some other parents tomorrow at 1 o'clock in his office, and it's the most crazy thing I've ever heard. And go ahead. I'm sorry, Mark.
Let's say your meeting is, of course, the day after the school board meeting, which is tonight. And my guess is a lot of parents are going to show up there tonight asking a few questions about this. Sarah, let me get to you. How did you discover that this was going on? What's been your reaction to it?
Well, the reality is it's been going on for a long time, and it's not going to go away. This is not something that is going to be fixed. But if we don't do anything about it, this could actually bring about, I'm more worried about the violence that this could even bring. My kids are in the district. I was informed yesterday of another parent, like-minded, and this was brought to my attention, and that's where the post came from and everything. But the fact that people are saying this isn't happening, that is false. It is happening. And so the more we just sit here and we don't figure out something, imagine, and this isn't just about protecting just the straight kids or the trans kids or whatever. This is about protecting all of them, because I can tell you right now, it could be a trans boy who goes into a girl's bathroom. You could have a bunch of girls that they could jump that kid in the bathroom because they're angry or mad. You could have the reverse happen. I mean, this is about keeping them all safe. So us continuing to keep our mouths shut and just avoid this topic, we aren't keeping anyone safe. And so we got to do something. Well, we're not being proactive. I don't understand that.
They've been debating it with the Francis Howell School District. There was a bathroom policy proposal put forward. It was then tabled. Yep. I'm hoping maybe they can get that to a vote, or at least put some people's feet to the fire tonight. Joe, do you have any information on that?
Well, I know that, you know, we did elect conservative or right-minded board members, and two of them, Adam and Randy, they need to stand up to the plate and do what they were elected to do. And for anybody to waver on this decision, it makes no sense. This isn't even a Democrat-Republican thing. This is just the right thing to do. And it's really, I think, technically, it's probably against the law, what they're doing, violating people's privacy like that, especially these girls, these young girls. It's completely wrong. And I can't even understand what the roadblock is in their mind. I don't get it, Mark. I just don't get it. I mean, they're weak and pathetic trying to cower to this woke nonsense. It's just incredibly insanity is what it is.
Well, you know, I mean, Sarah made reference to the fact that you worry about the possibility of violence. I hate to think about that. As a dad, it would enrage me, Sarah, if I knew that my daughter might walk into the bathroom and have a guy using her bathroom. I don't understand 100%. That at all. And I don't understand why the common sense solution to this wouldn't be, if it's that small a percentage of students that are affected by it, how about taking those students and giving them a single stall bathroom somewhere to use so that everybody else isn't uncomfortable with the situation?
Well, and you know, with that, because the problems come up, the questions come up of, well, my kid, this is something that a parent had said, well, if my kid's transgender and there's one bathroom and it's all the way on the other end of the school, my kid could be tardy. Listen, you got to, come on, parents, if you're dealing with those things, you communicate with the teachers and the principals when your kids are being bullied. You communicate with them about their grades and all these things. Then you need to be proactive. Call the principal, talk to the principal. Hey, maybe they make an exception for your, whatever you need to do. But this is still reasons that we're holding this up. It's not going, it's going to end ugly for these kids. And I'll tell you right now, I will always teach my daughter to protect herself and her body. It's hers. They're adolescents. Okay. They don't need to be worrying about being exposed to the opposite gender or whoever's confused. My daughter will stand up for herself. You know, and so I don't understand why are we continuing to do this? You're trying to tell me we can't have something happen. We can't put even a few single stall, gender neutral, whatever, unisex bathrooms or something, yes, and have them monitored. This is part of the, we will fail them if we don't do something soon. Not just the parents, it's the teachers, it's the superintendent, it's everyone that's involved in the schools. We are all at fault if we don't do something to protect everybody. Because I can agree with it or not, it doesn't matter. It's not going away.
Yeah, I agree. We're talking to Sarah Nags and Joe Brazel, both parents in the Francis Howell School District. Joe, you mentioned earlier the other problem here is the kids are in the middle here. I mean, they're facing peer pressure if they dare to say anything about it. And the school, in my opinion, is putting them in a unnecessary spot.
That's right. Just putting way too much pressure on these kids. And even the young boys who are going into the girls' bathroom. I mean, I have pity on them, too. I feel for them. But like Sarah said, or you said, let them go to another restroom or make one unisex bathroom or whatever you want to do. I don't care. But they shouldn't be sharing it. It shouldn't be shared with the young girls. It yes. just shouldn't be. It's just wrong, Mark. And I would encourage everyone to go to the meeting tonight at the Francis Howell School Board meeting, because we need to let these board members know that this is wrong and you need to change a policy. Like when's supposed to change the policy? They have a solid bathroom policy. They stood up and did the right thing. That's what Francis Howell needs to do. They need to get to do the right thing. And
Do you think that some of these local school boards like Francis Howell might feel more pressure with Trump being elected? He has vowed to try to cut off funding from some of these districts if they're, you know, infiltrating wokeness, right? If they're doing this whole thing that Francis Howell's doing. Do you feel like that could put pressure on some of these school board members?
I absolutely do believe that. I think that with the Trump election, with as strong as it was, with the majority of the country overwhelmingly, I think it absolutely changes things. I think it makes people understand this is the right direction to go in. This is the right thing to do, and have courage and do it and get rid of this woke nonsense. It's just all Marxism. So we need to focus on doing the right American thing. I absolutely think that's what will happen. I think it does help. Yes, Kim, I do. Yes.
Yeah. So I know there's a board meeting tonight. Sarah, I'm assuming you're going to be there.
I have moved my clients around, sir. yes. And one other thing, too, just to point this out, if people are listening and you're only picturing high schools, I was actually messaged last night by multiple parents who have been dealing with these things in second grade. Second grade. How old are kids in second grade? What?
Like eight, six, seven? Eight, yeah.
Eight? I don't know. Come on, man. This is insanity that a child... They should be going to school and learning about other things than having to worry about whether or not they can go in the bathroom and have to deal with this stuff. This isn't just happening to the older kids. This is being indoctrinated at a young, young age, and that's not okay.
Almost seems intentional when you look at it that way.
Yeah. The other day I watched What is a Woman by Matt Walsh, and it's incredible. It's like it shows the insanity, the absolute craziness of this idea. And it's like, come on, guys, what is a woman? I mean, watch that
Daily Wire.
Yeah, Daily Wire.
Yeah, great movie.
Yeah, I mean, Great movie. So, well, anyway, thank you, guys. I appreciate what you do.
You bet. Joe Brazel, thank you very much. Sarah Nags, we appreciate you both being with us today.
Absolutely, sir. Have a great day.
Yep. Take care of yourself. Yep. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate that. Thanks for giving us some time. By the way, that meeting tonight is at 6:30, and it's held in the boardroom at the administration building, which is on Corporate Center Drive out there in O'Fallon. If you are interested in attending, you can look that up on the school board website, Francis Howell District. Let's hope they take a vote, and let's find out where people stand on it. Coming up. What are we talking about in Kim on a Whim?
Man, you watch professional sports now and you see these athletes doing the Trump dance. Is it now cool to be a Trump supporter?
I know I felt cool doing it. We'll be back in just a minute.
Kim on a Whim.
I feel like even a handful of months ago, if you wore your Make America Great Again hat, people would look at you like, how dare you? You're the devil.
Well, now, some of us didn't care.
Well, there's that. But you were still kind of looked at as if you were a psycho. Well, now I feel like it's cool. I mean, you watch NFL games and you see how many players now who are doing that classic Donald Trump dance. It's kind of robotic and awkward and weird, but it's just taking off like wildfire. Thank you. I hope you guys are watching on
At least he
Twitter
doesn't do the
Facebook.
At least he doesn't try to do the YMCA thing, right?
I mean, he's not the best dancer, but I love seeing so many people do this because it really has made it where it's cool to be a Trump follower. And you have to remind yourself, more than half the country also agrees with you. They voted for Trump, too. I think this is fantastic. It's not just the football players doing it. I've seen soccer players doing this.
And the funny thing about it is, isn't that song that's pretty much been adopted by the LGBTQ community?
It's about a gay bathhouse.
Well, I know that.
Is it?
Yeah. That's what the song was about originally.
I try not to look too much into the lyrics of songs because it's just
hilarious that they're all convinced that Trump is going to ruin their lives, and apparently Ellen DeGeneres and her wife have left the country to go to England because they can't stand it because their life's going to be destroyed, and Donald Trump has never impacted the life of a single LGBTQXYZ person ever.
Mm-hmm.
But they've just bought into the nonsense from MSNBC, yeah, and they believe it.
Remember, though, when you'd watch an NFL game closer to like 2020, 2021, and you'd see all this like BLM stuff,
yeah,
and, you know, people are kneeling for the national anthem. It's so refreshing to turn on a game and you see this instead. And the NFL actually came out and said it has no issue with the celebratory dance that a lot of these players are doing. And they're saying it's up to the networks to cover them as they see fit. And I don't know if you realize this, but apparently CBS had posted on its X account a recap of a game or whatever, and it did not include the clip showing the players doing that dance, and it got CBS was criticized for that because it just seemed like they had panned away right as it was Brock Bowers name,
yeah,
was doing the Trump dance, and it seemed like CBS intentionally panned away so that the fans wouldn't see him doing that dance.
The left can't stand it. Did you hear Jessica Tarloff this week? We didn't play the bite, Carl, this week, but I've got it here. Listen.
Yes, we've gotten to the portion of the Trump era where we have moved past shut up and dribble, and now it is fantastic for athletes to be talking about their politics or expressing their politics, because that was one of the critical points when Colin Kaepernick was kneeling, when LeBron James was speaking out. And I get it. Donald Trump wants to take a victory lap, and he won. And
yeah, but what Jessica and the left don't get about that is our problem with what Colin Kaepernick did was taking a knee and dishonoring the flag and the national anthem of the United States of America. Doing a dance mimicking Donald Trump is celebrating America. What does she not see the difference there?
I guess not.
NFL players have been doing the icky shuffle and end zone celebrations forever.
Right.
And the fact that pre-election, I don't think any of them would have done that. And now you're right. It's like that veil has lifted, mm-hmm, and everybody feels free to kind of
celebrate.
Participate.
I'm surprised that the woke NFL, though, hasn't tried to say excessive celebration. As soon as they see the Trump dance, they try to give him a penalty for that.
Yeah. I'm surprised Carl didn't play Cool in the Gang for us here. Celebrate.
Good times. Come on.
That's not the YMCA.
It's not the same song, 100% for sure.
I just love it. I think it's so cool that things are changing, and it seems like the country is coming together. And maybe I feel like that because I, of course, am a Trump supporter. I know everyone else is melting down and just probably still in the fetal position trying to wrap their brains around the fact that Hitler is about to take office again.
Some of them are, except Mika and Joe. They've kind of capitulated now. I'm glad to see them coming around. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk to Trey Yangst from Fox. He went over and interviewed the president of Ukraine about this Ukraine war. What in the world is going on there? I want to talk to him about that. And Griff Jenkins joins us, as always, at 8:35. We'll be back.
Get more at 971talk.com.